Now, where was I? 96, 97, 98, 99. Oh, 100. From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM, Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show, in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show. Yes, this is The Sod Show, and from Peter Dunnigan, the gardener, and from myself, Niall O'Keefe, in the studio, you are very welcome to what is the 100th Sod Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM. And don't you think that deserves one of these? Yes, thank you, you're too kind. Listen, actually, we're going to keep it low-key enough, not going to celebrate the 100th episode too much. What we are going to do, though, is go back in time and talk to Anne O'Hara from Mornington House, revisiting an interview from quite some time ago. Peter will be talking to Anne in just a few minutes' time. Before that, of course, I will bring you all the latest gardening and outdoor news and information. But before we do that, let's actually mark the 100th episode with something special. How about a parade?
Thank you for joining me. I've just put out my tasty, refreshing cigarette, and as I look out the window of the studio here, the sun is shining and the parade is currently going down the street for Sod Show number 100. As we mark this special occasion, a great crowd has come out to line the route. There appears to be at least, yes, 12 of them. And yes, I now see the President of Ireland is standing up to make a speech. Let's have a listen to the little fellow.
It's my absolute pleasure to declare this parade for Sod Show number 100 officially open.
Well, there you go. What a delightful little chap. And he's scurried away now with his helper elves back to the big white house in the big green park where they keep all the animals. Congratulations from all here to Sod Show on reaching episode number 100. This is Arthur Chumbly Wumbly Hembly Smythe signing off and returning you to your regularly scheduled programming. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, thanks for that. Now, the real news. Well, it's all happening in County Clare this month. First up, there are two opportunities to get to know the team behind Clare Garden Festival in person. They'll be in Glore Music Centre in Ennis on Sunday the 27th of January, that's this Sunday coming, to exhibit at the Gathering Clare Festivals and Events Expo. Now, you can call around to their stand, let them know what you are planting this year, and hear more about the festival from them. Also, the Clare Garden Festival folks are hosting an open morning for exhibitors on the 5th of February, that's Tuesday week, at Ennis Showgrounds from 11 a.m. Get to know the team there, see the venue and book a stall space on the day. It is an industry-only event, but there will be more coming up at the end of February for all gardeners, so keep an eye on sodshow.com and the Clare Garden Festival's Facebook page at facebook.com/Clare Garden Festival to hear all the latest news on the festival and get plenty of garden updates for Clare and beyond. Now, gardening courses are always of interest to our listeners, and Klaus Leitenberger is offering Saturday courses this year at his own farm called Milkwood Farm in County Leitrim in the months of March, April, May, and again in September. On the 16th of March, there'll be a beginner's hands-on gardening course. The 13th of April sees him give a grow your own vegetables and fruit class, which should be interesting. And on the 11th of May and the 7th of September, he'll talk about growing in polytunnels and greenhouses. All courses run from 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. The price is €65, which includes coffee and scones on arrival and a home-cooked organic lunch washed down with a glass of wine. Nice! For more information, see milkwoodfarm.com, and to book, email Joanna or Klaus on milkwood.farm@hotmail.com. All those details again will of course be up on sodshow.com. If you've a bit of downtime, like many people and many gardeners in particular do at this time of the year, and you're looking for a good book to read to keep your brain occupied, you could do much worse than to peruse the 5 tomes recommended by my good friend Peter Dunnigan. If, as Peter says, your brain can actually picture a cow jumping over the moon, It's not that hard, Peter. Well, then these books are right up your and his alley, apparently, and you will take something from them. Check out his blog at dunniganlandscaping.com for more on these, as well as plenty of photos of the books of Peter himself at work, of a tired old glasshouse which he destroyed last week, and loads more besides. The link to this, along with links to all our news items, are of course on sodshow.com, as are podcasts of all the 99 previous Sodshow episodes, and a contact page where you can get in touch with us and give us your news. Again, that address is sodshow.com. Okay, now on Sodshow number 100, it's time to have a dip into the archives and head up the country, where Peter Dunnigan is at Mornington House, and he's talking to, well, let's let him do the introduction.
I'm talking to Anne O'Hara. Anne is the, is it fair to say, the proprietor of Mornington House, Anne?
The wife of the man that owns the place.
And could you give me a brief history on Mornington and how long have you been there? Where exactly is Mornington?
So the easy way of seeing it is that there are four lakes in the centre of in the Midlands of Ireland. Midlands is slightly north. And then there's Loch Oole and Loch Ennell. And we are about a quarter of a mile from the edge of Loch Derivara. We're on the a benchland above it, so there is a hill going up beyond us, which causes problems with water. However, we are 9 miles from Mullingar. 9 miles. So it's a rather long-winded way to say, but you can actually see where it is. In that. Very near, between Multifarnham and Crooked Wood, our postal address is Multifarnham, though in fact we're midway between there and Crooked Wood.
If you were to describe Mornington House...
It's rolling countryside. Georgina Campbell described the hills as being dragon-backed hills. The lake is, you can't see the lake because it's down sort of in a slit in the land almost. But the land is shaly, but then given that we're at the bottom of a hill, it's, parts of it are very quite wet, which is great for growing Pagoda polyanthus because they like the moisture. But then, and the other plants just don't like that at all. The house itself is, I suppose, would have been considered to be a big house. It was the centre of a domain of about 1,600 acres in the middle of the 19th century. However, when my husband's great-grandfather bought the place, he bought just 900 acres. And we came back to almost 500, over 400 acres. But we now have 50 acres of grassland. And then we have a walled garden of about just under half an acre. So it's quite a large place, to say the least. Well, the original house was here. There was an original castle on the site. The house, the current house, incorporates part of the 1641 house, or part of the castle. We know that there are very thick walls at the back of the house, but we would need the time team to come and excavate the thing, I think, to find out specifically. The front of the house was built by Warwick's grandparents in 1896, so that is a rather grand Victorian front. Mm-hmm. And it was designed by a church architect, so the entrance hall is rather fine. And though we have just two reception rooms, and there were 9 bedrooms, but they're now to 8 because we've converted some of them into bathrooms. Mm. But it's the original house was thatched, and then there was a wing built on in 1904 because the family had grown and they needed a bigger rooms for servants and for a servants hall. The parish boundary, the old parish boundary, goes diagonally through the library. It's a big house by anybody's standard. Rather fine front of the house, but the back of it sort of has a problem, particularly after the cold weather that we've had.
And you run part of the house on as a bed and breakfast, is that correct?
Yes, we do. When we got out of farming, I ended up with a job off-site, so to speak. We run a bed and breakfast. We'd like to think it's a little upmarket bed and breakfast. We're a member of a group called the Hidden Ireland, who are a group of heritage historic houses. Mm. And they would have, so there are some very fine houses such as Hilton Park in Monaghan or Temple House in Sligo. But then the cousins have a place called Ballinkeel down in Wexford. So if anybody's interested in the Hidden Island, they can get on to hiddenisland.ie and get a brochure or have a look at the whole group that we belong to. But a lot of them are family homes, and the families have actually been there a great deal longer than my husband's family have been here. They've only been here since 1858. But it was a family were here who had come through difficult times during famine times and the subsequent downturn. And they ended up having to sell the place, unfortunately. And I gather there was a gentleman called Richard Daly, used to read the news on RTE, and his family, he was descended from the family that lived here. I would hope that we've kept the place going, but it's like anything else. You inherit the house, you inherit the problems, and people see us living in a very large house and think it's just a wonderful thing, but you have to have lots of money to do something like that. And I would say that we're workaholics rather than having lots of money. We work hard for the privilege of staying here.
Do you find, Anne, that when people come to stay with you, that the gardens that surround the house are of intrigue to them?
I think they're interested because the fact it's a walled garden. It's funny because sometimes people come and they walk around it. Sometimes they just sit down in the corner and just enjoy the peace and the quiet. Other times they come around and say, we had other people come and say, oh, there's weeds. You need to do something about the weeds. There were used to be 2 full-time gardeners here, so it was relatively weed-free at that time. But the reality today is weeds, to me, are somebody else's plant in a place you don't want them to be. But they are interested. They enjoy the fact that they can go and pick things. They will see Warwick digging the potatoes that appear on the dinner table that night. The funny thing is Warwick went out to cut artichokes one time, cut the end off his thumb because he slashed the thing and did a stupid thing, slashed his thumb as well, was being carted off to hospital. And he said, oh, by the way, you better go and dig the potatoes before supper. And we literally were within half an hour of having to go and have supper going. But the reality is that people, if they have the time, and that is really what you need in rural Ireland, is the guests that come, I think they're privileged to come and be able to see a place like this, not because I'm being bossy or anything, but I think we've not changed the place. We've obviously put in modern bathrooms, and there's wall-to-wall carpets in the bedroom and modern mattresses and, you know, beautiful toiletries and one thing and another. But the reality is that it's something of the times past, if that makes any sense. Now, I don't put the milk out the night before. You know, we don't set the table the night before, and we don't have a housekeeper called Margaret, who used to make the brown bread. Now Warwick makes the brown bread. We do everything ourselves. We don't have the 2 gardeners. We don't have 9 men on the farm. Essentially, it's Warwick and myself, and the additional help as and when we need it, as and when the number of guests, beg your pardon, require it. Mm. So I don't know whether this is... I tend to digress, Peter, which is I should apologise for. I sort of... As you gather, I talk rather a lot.
Well, I tend to digress myself. It's a habit I'm very fond of, to be very honest with you, Anne.
But I tell you, one thing we had is that I was looking... I have a screensaver, and in actual fact, on the screensaver, I have a photograph of some of the apples that would have... it's when I first heard from you, you say, what are the names of the apples? And the awful thing is that I can't remember, Warwick can't remember, because we've lost his mother's planting book, if you please. But anyway, we know the types of apples that we've had. But the main thing is it's actually of the gardener's dog, Dexter. Dexter looking at this dish. I don't know whether he's licking his lips about the apples, but certainly there's the box hedge with the apples on. in the dish aren't sitting on top of it. The box hedges, when we came back, were actually just 6 inches tall. They were all clipped within. They were kept very tight to the ground. Mm-hmm. Now, the reality is that we don't have space to plant anything in the center of those box hedges. So what we've actually done is we've made a feature of the box hedges. And the great thing is when you have little people, they can run in and around them because it's almost like a maze for them. But it's only sort of waist height on them. So yes. They can't get lost in it. But it's obviously, Warwick, it's Warwick's grandmother decided to have it planted. But it's certainly, I think you see the outline. I've actually got it on the Twitpig site somewhere along the line because it was covered in snow this last winter. So that you see the outline, it's called a Celtic cross or something.
I guess. So,
anyway, and the other thing, the pots that are in the middle of the old chimney pots, we took some of the old chimney pots down and blocked up the chimneys in the very back of the house because there were a lot of fireplaces. We've kept the chimney pots here. You don't throw them out. So actually one of them's got some ferns growing in them. I did try to grow other things, but the reality is you have to water them. And I cut with it from a scooter. I can't get in there to water them.
Anne O'Hara from Mornington House speaking to Peter Dunnigan there. And we will return to that interview very shortly, right after a musical break. And getting the distinction of appearing here on the 100 Sod Show here on Dublin City FM is a band and a song chosen by Peter Dunnigan for this week's show. A very beautiful and poignant song. And a very beautiful video, which I think will stick up on sodshow.com as well. This is Codaline with High Hopes on The Sod Show.
Broken bottles in the hotel lobby. Seems to me like I'm just scared of never feeling it again. But I know it's crazy to believe in silly things. But it's not that easy. I remember it now, it takes me back to when it all first started. But I've only got myself to blame for it, and I accept it now. It's time to let it go, go out and start again. But it's not that easy. But I've got high hopes, it takes me back to when we started high hopes. When you let it go, go out and start again. High hopes. When it all comes to an end, but the world keeps spinning around. Dreams, I meet the ghosts of all the people who have come and gone. Memories, they seem to show up so quick, but they leave you far too soon. Naive, I was just staring at the barrel of a gun. We'll be right back.
Sunshine with High Hopes on The Sod Show. And as I said, we will put the video for that song. Very thought-provoking and slightly sad video. We'll stick that up along with today's show notes on sodshow.com. Let's go back to the archives and back to the special interview between Peter Dunnigan and Anne O'Hara. And just to remind you that, of course, this isn't the entire interview that you're hearing here and now. You can go to sodshow.com to hear the whole thing at any time. It is a little bit longer than what we're able to play you here today. Let's go back to Peter and Anne.
Anne, you spoke there briefly about the fact that, you know, you grow as much as you can for the guests who are staying in Mornington. You've obviously been growing your own for a long, long time. Did you find that you were doing this for ages and then all of a sudden grow your own became a little bit of a en vogue or in fashion kind of a statement, and you're kind of looking at it saying, well, is that what it's called that we've been doing for ages?
I suppose it is, in a way, but the reality was, the practicality was, that the only, in certainly in my mother-in-law's time, if you wanted fresh vegetables, there was the only, and you wanted good ones, you grew them yourselves. And the other thing is, I suppose the reality is, as we maybe haven't had as many guests, we've had more time. So we've decided that we really should grow more things. We've always grown a few potatoes. But then maybe we're being a little more adventurous with what we're growing. And the other thing is that, of course, that I'm only working 2 days a week, so I have more time to get things organized. So Warwick grows the vegetables. It's very hard. Sometimes you can plan what you're going to do, but then sometimes the year before last, the Brussels sprouts all failed. But last year, we had an incredible crop of the seedlings came up well, and we've had a great crop of Brussels sprouts this year. But I think the big thing for us, it was to be able to grow things and bring them in. And there's no doubt about it, they do taste, whether you like it or not, they taste better. And believe me, picking an apple off the tree is, and eating it right then and there, things like a Beauty of Bath, which will not keep, and they really are quite delicious. Interestingly enough, we have a country fair in Multifarnham in September, and we had another one for Christmas. However, the one in September, what we did is we took some cooking apples. There's one old variety. I don't think it's a sheep's nose, but I to be honest, I don't know the name of it. We need an expert in old apples to tell us. But the main thing is that it makes the most wonderful puree, or when you use them in apple pies, they actually explode. It's a translucent color, translucent, and it's beautiful flavor. But we took those, and I also took two eating apples, and I just took a paring knife and wipes and cut people a slice of the apples and said, try those, that. And, you know, 8 apples for €2 was as cheap as it was in the supermarket. And as I pointed out, you will not be able to buy these in the supermarket because they're not your golden delicious and your green delicious. And that is, to me, is the one of the things that's happened is that we've had a dumbing down. I notice, for example, in the job that I do, there's a dumbing down of people's taste buds. I'm the catering manager in a boarding school, and children, if you put an Irish stew in front of 90% of them, they wouldn't eat it. They wouldn't, they're just not into that. Put in a chicken korma, and that 90% would say, yes, please. Mm-hmm. It's the idea, but you'd give them a curry that is a little different to one of the many, many curries that you can do with the different, using different combinations of spices and so on. And they, oh, but that's not, it's not what we're used to. And we're not as adventurous. It's a bit like if you're not prepared to buy you think about the various, you go into the supermarkets now, you've got the ready prepared foods, whether it's Tesco or Marks and Spencer's or Dunn's stores, you get it you've got the jars of pasta sauce. Now, I'm not knocking it, but what I'm saying is that it's very hard then, certainly with teenagers, to get them to be a little more adventurous with trying things. And I think that with fruit and vegetables, we tend to buy what we're familiar with. But it's when we go to farmers markets and we try things. And, you know, people have had some of those apples and said, oh, they're brilliant. and came back for more, there was one young mum that I know said, "Oh, daughter wouldn't eat it because it wasn't like the Golden Delicious or Red Delicious or whatever mother usually bought." So, as I say, it's not to say that the child is wrong or the children I work, teenagers, are wrong. I would hope that as they get older and more adventurous, they may become more adventurous and try other things. But I belong to a group called Eurotokes, who are the European Union of Cooks. And we are, as a group, are concerned about Ireland agreeing under the last government, God forbid, that we could grow genetically modified crops or test them in Ireland. And that's when you've got big companies like Monsanto want to trial these products. And whilst we know that we're concerned that will interfere with the genome, the native plants and the plants that we would use, because once these plants that are grown, the seeds are sterile. They'll grow, they'll produce when you grow them, you can grow them it's putting more business in the hands of more business in the hands of the big companies. And it's important that the smaller producers, whether they're cheese producers, the artisan producers, or the people that are growing vegetables, people will be able to go and buy things from them and actually see how they're grown sometimes. Because that's the other thing, is that people have no idea that you actually get certain things. Oh, did they grow? It's a bit like teaching children in Birmingham one time. It's a bit like, taking a group of children out in the country, seeing a crate of milk at the end of a farmer's road that was ready for collection by the delivery man. And this is when they used to be able to bottle milk, by the way, in farms, and we're talking a while ago. And, miss, there's a cow's nest. Now, I don't know whether it's a true story or it's apocrypha, but it's, that type of thing. It's just that people... You have to go and see what's happening. And I certainly would see that children in the country schools are probably more familiar with some of those things, because parents... It's interesting enough, last year there were many more people growing potatoes in this area. I saw potatoes growing where I haven't seen them growing for maybe 15 or 20 years, because it was cheaper to buy, to grow your own. Does that make any sense?
It does indeed. Anne O'Hara, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
If you're ever down this way in Westmeath, come and see us.
I'll make it my business to do so, Anne. Thank you so much. An absolute honour.
Well, that's it. We've come to the end of Sideshow number 100, and therefore the end of the Sideshow forever. We're never coming back. No, I'm kidding. We'll be back next week, 3 o'clock Friday, on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Until then, whatever you do in the great outdoors and whoever you do it with, enjoy yourselves and take care.